Hey, Smutters.
Hey.
How's your week been?
It's been alright, but I just want to point this out that my special guest is not coming because you totally offended him that one time.
What did I do?
You said he didn't exist.
I mean...
Don't start.
Okay.
It's been alright. How's yours been?
I mean, it's been alright.
Just remember to drink plenty of water and give everybody the side eye.
Stinker.
Ooh. So I want to play this real quick before you get into the story.
Okay.
Because this is about Airplane Lady. I sent it to you earlier.
Yes.
But it's kind of cool. So listen to this.
Airplane Lady. Those people aren't real.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
No one's been able to track her down, right? And then people were reporting she's gone missing.
Oh, no.
She just popped up on TMZ. People are like, that doesn't look like her. That doesn't look like her. Because we didn't know who she was for the first couple weeks. Like, they couldn't even find a name or anything. And then it came out, her name, where she worked, and then she dropped the video. TMZ picks up the video, puts it out there. She started a new Twitter account when she posted this video. The first person she followed was TMZ. She's like, I live in Texas, like, blah, 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 blah. Her name is Tiffany Gomez. So when her name came out and everything like that, people were going after her like crazy, right? And so when she put out the video, people were not sure whether it was her or not. So people started doing like some AI face detection. There's this guy that does it online, online professionally. And he says, you know, like he gave you an example of him with a bunch of other people that look similar to him. And it said, if you get a score of 0.6 or below, it is the same person. And he did it with a ton of different things, with a ton of different like faces, twins and stuff. He put the videos that were on the plane, videos that were outside the plane of the real Tiffany, and then the AI video that came out.
And it's not her.
1.2. One other dude, big old like hacker dude, goes on and checks her IP address that she sent out from the video.
Okay.
Guess where it tracked to?
TMZ headquarters.
Texas. 2 blocks away from the White House in Washington, D.C.
Guys, what are they hiding from us?
That girl is gone.
Yeah, she's dead. But she saw something.
Yeah, she did.
There was a portal opening, or she saw something not right. And she disappeared. And
not real.
And then now the White House is getting involved.
The reptilians crazy, right? On Capitol Hill.
Shut up. The reptilians, not V.
But yeah, that is insane. So nobody knows where this girl is.
She's kind of hot, too.
She's beautiful.
You don't just go missing like that and someone track your IP address of her video. And
yeah.
It shows up at the White House. I mean, come on.
And in case y'all didn't catch it, they did a facial recognition.
Fire.
And they had like a specialist on that, and it was not her at all.
Was not. Bum, bum, bum.
That's really scary the way... I mean, in a lot of stories we do, people that see things, they disappear.
And you see why I don't have Big Brother tracking me? I told you right now.
This is you proving a point about me getting your location.
Exactly. And guys, I don't care for her to have my location. It's not like I'm doing anything wrong. But the fact of the matter is, I know she'll track my location just to tell me to stop somewhere to get something before I get home. That's how she is. Oh, you can't stop at Walgreens? You're right beside it. That's how she would be.
Is that how you call me? And you're yes. Like, can you go to the gas station real quick?
Because you're right beside it.
Busted. Well, well, well. So, tonight's story. By the way, y'all, happy Star Wars weekend. I know we're a little late coming out. We were supposed to have the story out yesterday, but Troy was hurting really bad and was not feeling like he couldn't do it. So,
guys, that doorknob really hit me hard in the eye.
Wow.
I know you can't see me right now, but I'm blinking twice for help.
But yeah, like he was hurting, his back was hurting and stuff, so... We kind of called it off last night. We're like, you know what? Because you talk back. And we would pick it up today. So that's what we're doing. And we have a really awesome story. You know how you love Skinwalker Ranch?
I used to until it just dragged on and dragged on and dragged on and dragged on and dragged on. But yeah.
Like the show that we watched? Mm-hmm. I thought you were talking about the episode we did. I was like, oh. No, the episode we did was actually very cool. I love that episode so much.
Yeah, but each episode, they're like, it was like one of those cold case shows you watch.
Yeah.
And you have to wait till the very last second to find out who did it.
And then they're like, but we couldn't find anything.
But yeah, but then it was like, tune in next time. And they do a recap.
It takes like 15 minutes.
And then they go into something else and never tell you.
Yeah, like I thought you were talking about our episode that we did on. I was like, thanks. But no, it was a really good episode that we did. But yeah, the show, it's good, but he's right. Like they'll come to like this real like groundbreaking point and then they're like, oh, but it didn't work out or it was inconclusive or they just won't say anything about it. And you know, so if you get a chance and you're interested in Skinwalker Ranch, watch the show because it is interesting and you get to see a lot of the ranch and hear the past stories and stuff. But what we are doing tonight is Stardust Ranch. And Stardust Ranch is like kind of like the sister location of Skinwalker Ranch. It's kind of got the same stuff going on, except it's got paranormal stuff going on too.
Oh, yeah.
So it's got aliens and ghosts. And then they've got cryptids too. So there's a lot of mess going on. And also, we'll have a little visit from Buffnuts tonight.
Ooh.
Yes, Ghost Adventures actually did an episode on this. It's a very good episode because apparently Buffnuts is really scared of aliens. He does not like to like do anything with aliens, and this is like a surprise for him when he figures out what he's doing. He's like, no. But he talks to the guy that the story's about. He's actually on there, and they go to the ranch and everything, so he goes over more encounters and stuff like that. It's a very good show. It's I think it was season 15 episode 12, and it's on Max, so that will be a good episode for you guys to watch. So, are you ready to dive in?
Let's do it.
Let's dive on in. Okay. Now, as I said, tonight we have an absolute crazy, terrifying story. Now, if you remember the story we did on Skinwalker Ranch, this one could be its sister. We are talking about the Stardust Ranch, and we have a lot to unpack. So let's get into it. Let's start at the beginning. We're going back to the 1950s. A young John Edmund is living in Evanston, Illinois. He doesn't live in a very good part of town. It was a little bit dangerous. And as a child going through this, he found comfort by going to visit his grandfather. And his grandfather was a Cherokee, and he lived in rural Arkansas. He had a small farm in the woods. And this planted a seed in John's mind to one day live in the wilderness, or at least away from the city, from all the hustle and bustle. And obviously, he found his peace here. He didn't have to be on high alert with the street violence around him. So that was John's dream, was to one day own his own little ranch away from everybody, which...
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah, like, same. So... this is what leads John to buy Stardust Ranch. John grows up and he's a psychiatric counselor. He moves to Phoenix, Arizona, where he meets his love and his wife, Joyce, who is a clerk for the FBI. So right off the bat, they've got great jobs. Like these are two upstanding people in the community that, you know, you wouldn't think would tell stories. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which says a lot for this story, because that really meant a lot when I heard what their jobs were. Like, working for the FBI, you can't be like a freaking liar or anything, you know? So, there's that. At this point, John is close to around 38, and he's burnt out. He's tired of dealing with other people's problems, and he's getting worn down from listening about their traumatic experiences from one day to another. Like, it's just wearing down on him. He was ready to get away and do what he always wanted to do. So John and Joyce start looking, and they wanted a place where they could relax. My pages.
your pages.
John wanted a ranch. He had some projects he wanted to start, and they talked to a realtor. They have the perfect place, but it's a little underdeveloped, and it's a little bit further out than what they wanted. It's in Rainbow Valley. They go and check it out, and the place is full of appliances and furniture. And, of course, the couple thinks it's a little weird because, you know, the place is for sale, so why would there be furniture in there? The realtor says it was a vacation home for the previous occupants, and it kind of explains why everything's still there. So John and his wife start to discuss getting this ranch, but Joyce immediately had a bad feeling about this. So there's that.
There's that.
But John thinks this place is perfect. This is his dream. And it has everything he's ever wanted. It's got 10 acres of land, a stable, and a nice big 5-bedroom house. And it is perfection. Joyce can't put her finger on it, but she just feels in her bones that something is wrong with this place. Now, eventually, John convinces her that this is it. This is the one place they're going to be happy. And, you know, they call the realtor and they buy the ranch. He talked her into it. So finally, it's moving day. The U-Haul's ready and it's loaded up to go, and it's time to go decorate their new house and make it cozy and feel like home. And they walk in and all the furniture and appliances are still sitting in the house. Ooh. Yeah. They call the realtor and the realtor tells them, they're like, you know what, why don't y'all go out to dinner, explore the new town you're about to live in, and I'm going to figure all this out. And they're like, you know what, that's a good idea. We can do that. We've been moving our stuff. Let's go out to eat. So the couple comes back later that night and everything in the house is gone. Like, quick moving, right? Mm-hmm. So they're, you know, they're like, that was just super fast. They don't really think anything about it. You know, they're like, you know, the realtor did a good job at doing what they were going to say. So they bring in their mattress and get ready for bed. But John was so excited. He wanted to survey his property. It was his property. He's in his new beautiful home and he finally has his ranch in the desert. He walks around and he comes to the pool and he's looking at the stars. Then he looks in the pool and all the appliances and furniture from the previous owners was in the pool. It was empty, of course, but all the furniture had been dumped in there. John runs in and tells Joyce, you have got to come see this. They call the realtor and they say, you know, the realtor's like, well, I tried to call the original occupants, but the number was disconnected. I never could get a hold of them. So no arrangements had ever been made. The realtor had nothing to do with the furniture. As a matter of fact, that furniture was still supposed to be sitting in the house where they found it when they walked in the first part of the day. So nobody knows who put the furniture in the pool.
It was me.
Was it you?
It's gotta be me.
I knew it. But basically the realtor, that, you know, they're like, well, what do we do now? And the realtor's like, I mean, it's...
The realtor.
Is it realtor?
Realtor.
Realtor. Realtor. Realtor? Realtor? You need new money. Me no cryptid, not real. Okay.
Sorry, guys. Y'all. We watched the roast of Tom Brady last night. It was pretty funny.
It was so funny. Okay, so... What is it? Realtor?
Realtor.
Okay. Have I been saying it wrong this whole time? Okay. Sorry, y'all. So they call the realtor and...
It's not like Skeletor.
Realtor. the realtor's like, you know what? It's your ranch. It's your problem. I have nothing to do with this house anymore.
Didn't the government, the city get involved, though? I think they did on one of the shows.
On Skinwalker Ranch?
Yeah.
Probably because they were wanting to dig.
Yeah, because it was sold, I think. I don't know. I just shut up and listen
no,
to
no, no, no. You're absolutely right, and I'm glad you said that. It was sold.
Remember there was that episode of that helicopter flying over, and yes, they didn't know who it was and yeah, why they were doing it. And
it was Bigelow or something that bought the
Deuce Bigelow, Mel Gigolo.
Yes, it was Deuce Bigelow, Mel Gigolo that bought the ranch. And as we'll talk about later on, Bigelow makes an offer on Stardust Ranch.
It just makes sense.
Like, he wants this one too.
It just makes perfect sense.
Right? I mean, he's got to do his gigoloing all over the place. He needs homes.
And Stardust sounds right.
Stardust sounds wonderful. And there's lots of... Okay. So, let's get back to this. The realtor
Is that
says,
still going?
Yes, it's still going.
Okay. Sorry.
You scared me. So, the realtor's like, this is your problem now. I've already sold it. This is all you. I have nothing to do with it anymore. Kind of a dick move. So,
it's true, though.
I mean, it is true. And if I were the realtor, I'd probably say the same thing. I'd be like, out of my hands. I don't want anything to do with it. It took a while, but eventually they got everything out and they set it on the street. But, like, it was new appliances and nice furniture. I would have sold that shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know it? Like, they could have made some extra money. So, this kind of validated Joyce's concern that something was not right with the house. How did all that stuff get out there? Nobody knows to this day. John starts to worry. He worried about protecting Joyce. If something were to happen, if somebody were to break in, he went out and he bought a gun. He bought a .357 Magnum just in case, just for their safety.
Just
because he didn't think about it. He was away from the city. But also, when you're in the country, if something happens, how long is it going to take the police to get there?
Well, I mean, I think every rancher needs to own a gun anyway, simply for wildlife.
Absolutely.
Their farm.
Yeah.
But did you also know there's a city in North Georgia, right before Atlanta, that has a law on the books still that every resident should have a gun?
I did not know that.
Yep.
Wow.
Kennesaw, Georgia.
Okay. So, he got his gun. And then one day, after Joyce left for work, he was home, just kind of hanging out, and he looks out the window, and there's a man walking up the long dirt driveway up to the house.
See, I'm picturing it because I've seen it.
Stardust?
Like the ranch and the fence and all of that. Like, I can picture it now. Like, a lot of times when we do stories, I'm just like, oh, okay, it's a man down living or dead Britney Spears dance around in my mind. But now I've seen the show, so I can picture what you're talking about.
Well, this is a different ranch, but it looks pretty much like it. This is Stardust. We watched Skinwalker. But, I mean, honestly, it looks pretty much the same. So keep picturing that. So,
just ruined my day.
I'm so sorry. So there's a man walking up their long driveway to the house. And, you know, John, you know, he noticed, he was like, this man, he looks kind of dirty. He looks kind of homeless.
Like a drifter.
Yeah. But what he really caught his eye was the machete the man was carrying.
Well, yeah. Duh.
So, John. So, John did what any man would do. He grabbed his gun and he tucked it in the back of his pants and he went out to meet this man. And John, you know, he wasn't rude. He was like,
hopefully 10 feet away from him.
They was like exactly 10 feet away. That's what it said. He stopped at 10 feet. John, you know, came up to the man and he said, can I help you? And the man said, I live here. And John was confused. He said, excuse me? He didn't want to be rude because he did say, he was like, the man, well, he had a machete, but the man, he looked like a veteran. He was wearing very ratty clothes. You could tell he was homeless. He said his teeth hadn't been brushed. They were broken and just, you know, he just didn't have it good. And he thought that maybe he had like an arrangement with the previous occupants. Maybe he was like a farmhand and there was an old shed out there and, you know, maybe he stayed there or something. He didn't know. But the man then said, after it being quiet for a minute and John's thinking, the man goes, I killed all the monsters. John's whole body tensed. He told the man, I don't want you living here. And as soon as he said that, the man said, "You're going to regret that." And he turned and walked away. And I think the man's right. John probably did regret that he did not let him live with them. So, let's see. But John, like, nothing is hitting John as weird because he's so, like, excited. His dream has come true. He loves this ranch. Like, this is what he's dreamed of since he was a little boy. Like, what he, everything he's ever wanted, it's all coming true. So one day he took his Jeep out and, he would watch the sunset and he would just ride over the property, you know, which sounds wonderful in itself, you know, like just going over your land and watching the beautiful sunset. And, he sees a horse, just a random horse. So it's kind of, it hits him as weird, but he goes back, he's got a stable. And he grabs some hay and some water and he goes back because, you know, the horse is probably hungry. And by the time John comes back home, he has 12 horses following his Jeep. He realizes all the horses were abandoned on the land. Basically, ranchers that didn't want them anymore, broken down horses, they would leave them on that land. So John, which I love this, started an animal sanctuary.
That's pretty cool.
Very cool. And this just made me love this couple so much because you guys, if y'all have not figured it out by any of the episodes, Troy and I are huge animal lovers. Like, we don't deserve animals. So I really love this. He started this big animal sanctuary and it made me think of South Park where he was like, "Let's go to Big Gay Al's Big Gay Animal Sanctuary." But no, I really love that he did that. So he gets like a bunch of dogs. He gets like 30 dogs because he always wanted like 30 dogs exactly. So he gets a bunch and I don't know if it was that many, but he'd always wanted like tons of dogs. So he got a bunch of dogs. You know, he had his favorite. And he was just living it up. He had all his animals he was helping, his ranch. Like, what could possibly go wrong, you know? So, John then decided, he's like, you know what? And keep in mind, this is like in the mid-90s. So, he needed to get his phone, his landline hooked up, okay? He still hadn't done that. And he was like, I probably need to, you know, just in case something ever happens and we need to call out or whatever. So, he calls and he speaks to a lady and he's like, yeah, I need to make an appointment to have my phone lines installed. And they're like, okay.
How do you call?
Fuck.
How do you call him?
I don't know. His cell phone.
Oh, really? In 90?
I had a cell phone in the 90s.
No, you didn't.
Maybe he had a bag phone.
Until like 1994.
But... Well, keep in mind that, like, Joyce worked with the FBI and stuff, too. So, I guarantee you they probably had some kind of stuff. So,
they hacked into the FBI phone system to order a home phone.
You know what? I never thought of that. But I'm just going to say.
I didn't have a phone, but I called them anyway. He sent smoke signals.
I'm going to say that he used his car phone.
Okay.
Okay. He went for a drive and he called the phone line place and made an appointment. Don't ruin it. Anyway, so somehow.
That's the biggest mystery of the story.
You know what? John went to town and used a payphone and was like, I need to make an appointment for you to come out and put my phone lines in. That's what happened. We're going to stick to that. Yeah. So they're like, yeah, sure. So.
Bet they did.
Well, that's the thing. They made the appointment. And the appointment came and went, and no one showed. John sends more smoke signals, and he's like, I made an appointment, and nobody showed. What's going on? And they're like, oh my gosh, we're so sorry. Somebody will be out within the next week. And he's like, okay, that's fine. So the appointment comes and goes, and no one shows up. So now, like, John's getting mad, and he's like, I'm going to call, I'm going to talk to the manager, whatever. And the lady's like, we have never had this problem before. You know, our guys always show up to get stuff done that needs to be done. This has just never happened. And she pulls up his address and she says, oh, your property has a bit of a reputation. And John, you know, he's already mad and he's like, I don't know what that means, but can I please get my phone lines installed? And she's like, absolutely. I guarantee you by next week, someone's going to be out there. You have my, you know, my personal guarantee and, you know, they'll be there.
Let me guess.
No one showed. So John is pissed. He is angry. And he's like, you know what? Before I talk to anybody, I need to calm down. Let me just get myself together. But as luck would have it, the next day, a white truck pulls up. And the guy that gets out, he looks very nervous. He's kind of looking around. And John, you know, he meets him outside. And he kind of breaks the ice. And he's like, I hear there's something with my house that you guys just don't want to come out and install my phone lines. And the guy kind of looks at him and he's like, you don't know the history of your property? And John says no. And that's something you probably never want to hear from anybody when you buy a new house. Like, you don't know what happened here. So it turns out in 1977, a guy built this house for his wife. And so excited, like built the whole thing. It was a 5-bedroom beautiful house on the ranch with stables and everything, and it was a surprise. And the wife shows up, and as soon as she shows up, she says, I'm never living here. She got a bad feeling, just like Joyce did. Was why she wasn't being an asshole, she just got a bad feeling. And she said, if you make me live here, I will divorce you. Well, he already built the house and he made her live there. And they got divorced. So she left, and the land is bought off by an off-track betting outfit. Betting, like cards and stuff, like gambling. And it's eventually turned into a brothel.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so turns out that's illegal and it was definitely shut down. But with all of the gambling and the like the sex and stuff, I'm sure there was drugs going on and a lot of drinking, and I'm sure there was a lot of shady dark shit that went down at that time. So that adds to what's going on with this land. Now, after that, the Sons of Gestapo bought the land so they could live off the grid. Now, do you remember the Amtrak bombing type thing that happened a long time ago?
Kind of, sort of.
Now, it was said that the Gestapo was behind that, but it was never really proven. But that's kind of what they're known for. So apparently, while they lived there, there was a big shootout on the ranch. And several of the members were murdered on that land. So after they moved out, there was a nice little Mexican family. They bought the ranch. They had cattle and they sold veal. They made a good living. Like, everything was going great for them. And on the day of their son's graduation, he put a gun in his mouth and blew off his head.
Wow.
So, all the stories that lead up to this family, and that's like in a span of like 20 years. So, it had been a couple's first house.
A brothel
and a gambling place.
And a veal farm.
A veal farm, and then the Gestapo living there. So, that's like 4 different things in a span of what, like 20 years? That's a lot.
Yeah.
And then, like, no telling what happened on that land before, you know, anybody lived there. So, but after John, you know, hears about all this, he's not fazed. he still loves this place.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's his place now.
Yeah. Like, I get it because, like, I remember when we got our house, like, anything that happened, I was like, it's fine. It's just the house settling, you know? Yeah. Like, I could explain anything away that happened with that house. Like, I was so in love with it, and nothing was going to make me just not like it, you know? So, that, like, we get it. And he even, like, started a motorcycle repair shop. He had his little shop there. He had his animal sanctuary. He was thriving. Like, he was loving life. Joyce, on the other hand, was not, because she had to commute about an hour back to the FBI agency every single day to do her job and then come back every night and go back and do the same thing. So I don't think Joyce really enjoyed it very much. But John did. Eventually, John starts having mood swings. He's starting to get angry for no reason.
Sure, with his wife?
No, like, Joyce was great. Like, she didn't complain. She was 100% on John's side over everything. I'm right here.
Oh, you heard that?
But, like, he's just getting angry. Like, Joyce will leave for work, and he'll break things and start hitting the wall. Like, he just goes into a huge rage. And there's, like, cold spots in the house. And the pressure starts to change in the house. But he can't tell Joyce about the darkness he feels. Because, you know, obviously she'd be like, this is ridiculous. We need to leave. We need to go. That's enough is enough, you know. So he started to notice that when he gets angry like this, the dogs start barking and going crazy. And they're outside. And they're not, like, with him and seeing this happen. And the horses start to act crazy, like bucking and jumping and all this stuff, you know. So that's never a good sign. And he starts to... Good job. He starts to realize, well, it's the pressure, that something around him is causing this. And every time the pressure got thicker.
It was probably from those old school cell phones he was having.
He was causing that brain tumor from using them too much. Did your parents used to tell you that? If you use your cell phone, you'll get a brain tumor?
That's not a myth.
Okay. Then I guess that's why mine told me that. Anyway. So, he realizes something around him on this ranch in the house is causing this. Do you know what that kind of sounds like?
What?
Amityville. You know how he starts to get angry?
Didn't they have cell phones though?
Who?
In Amityville?
That was in the 70s. Well, the remake. You mean they didn't have to send smoke signals to the phone company?
I'm so funny.
You were hilarious.
I'm a hilarious person.
Anyway, but yeah, it starts to sound like Amityville, how the dad kind of starts to go crazy a little bit. And even the true story where the DeFeo boy kind of starts to just lose it. By this point, poltergeist activity has started. Yeah. When he gets angry, things start moving around the house.
I wish that could happen for me.
That's like the force. No, that's like that. You want the force where you could just be like throwing stuff and all that. You don't want something else doing it.
Oh, speaking of, since it is the Star Wars weekend, the Acolyte new trailer is out. Oh my God, I can't wait.
Yeah, and that new show on Disney Plus that we haven't watched, the little Empire thing. Yeah. We've got to watch
the
that.
Acolyte. Oh my God.
Yeah, for sure. As I said, things start moving on their own. Glass shatters. Things break. And John's attitude about the ranch starts to change when a certain incident happens.
Ruh-ruh-ruh-ruh-y.
Yes. I don't like this. John lost his favorite dog.
Aww.
All the dogs stayed in the kennels at night. Their little crate things he had outside, you know, for all of them. They stayed in there at night, and John was having a great day. Joyce was in a good mood. He walked her out while she was leaving for work. Things were good. And as she drove off, he, you know, he's like, I got to go check on my fur babies. I got to see what they're up to. You know, it's time to let them out. It's morning time. Let's let them out. Have some fun. Run around. Whatever. On his way to the kennel, he saw something was wrong. One of the crates had been opened. Mm-hmm. And John looked around. And then he saw the remains of his favorite dog. He realized that whatever killed his dog is what he had been feeling in the house. It was getting very aggressive. Now, when John got to the dog, all the insides were gone. There was no blood. It was just the carcass. It was laying flat. It wasn't cut open. Everything was just gone.
Weird.
Rot. What's even weirder is the night before when it happened, they never heard a sound outside. The dogs never barked. Nothing. And when I was listening to a story about this, they brought up a good point that these dogs were a pack. They were, I mean, dogs are very much pack animals. And these dogs lived together. They were bonded. They were always together. And I feel like if somebody came and started hurting one of them, surely there'd be one bark, you know, let alone there were, cause he had, I believe it was like 12 Rottweilers. And this was one of the Rottweilers that he got. And so they were bonded. So I don't think that they would have just sat there and then like on the podcast I listened to, they were like, you know, unless they like drugged them or had some kind of gas or something, but that would take too much time, I would think. You know, like I don't think that happened. I don't know what happened, but they did not hear a single sound, which is weird. The dogs, John was now ready to fight back. This was it. They basically killed his best friend, you know. And I get it. I mean, that would make me so mad. And as time goes by, both Joyce and John are waking up with strange marks on their body. They're waking up with brands on their body. Let's see. John starts getting more and more weapons, which, you know, I would too. He would hide them so wherever he was, he could just grab one if he needed it. You know what I mean? Like, just everywhere on the property where he normally went. So John starts dropping hints around town, hoping that maybe somebody can help. Just kind of talking a little louder than he should. So maybe somebody will overhear and be like, you know what? I'll help you. I'll help you with your problem. I've heard of this. You know, anything that would help. So eventually, John meets a guy. And he's a Mormon. And he offers to do a blessing of the home. So John's like, absolutely, yeah, anything. He'll try anything. So several of the Mormons come out to the house and try to bless it. They never got to. Because as soon as they got to the house, they couldn't stop throwing up.
That's weird.
Right? Like, they did not get a chance to bless the house because they were so sick. They had to leave. One night, when Joyce and John had been asleep, John was startled, awake, you know, kind of jumped up. Not by a sound, though, by a touch. He felt something. He had been laying in bed, in and out of consciousness, when he felt a cold, clammy thing touch his arm. It stroked his arm up to his elbow. He jumped up and grabbed the baseball bat he hid behind the bed, and he swung and heard a hiss. He turned on the lights, and he saw three gray aliens standing on his side of the bed. They were 4 feet tall, big heads, small bodies.
Like we know that they would probably look like.
Yeah, with huge black eyes. As soon as he saw them, the aliens phased out. They disappeared. But That will not be the last time the couple sees the Grays. The Grays love the ranch, okay? They are always there. So, John starts staying up at night. The couple keeps waking up, as I said, with more marks, more brands on them. They can't figure it out. Like, what is this? So, one night, John was trying to act like he was sleeping. And he opened up his eyes and turned over and looked at Joyce. His wife was floating above the bed. Could you imagine rolling over and seeing that?
No.
I would absolutely die. John tries to wake her up. Nothing. He tries to grab her. He then has to physically pull her down. The next morning, he tells Joyce all about it. She had no idea any of that happened. This continues. John will wake up and find her in different areas of the house. He'd try to stop her, and her movement was so slow. This is a different story, y'all. This one's insane. Pay attention. Joyce's movement, she was just extremely slow, but she was 3 feet off the ground, and she floated down the hallway through a side wall. Yes, y'all. She went through a wall. All he could do was stay with her. He couldn't pull her back or anything. So he just walked with her. You know, what's going to happen? What's going on? They got outside. And when they got outside, a big disc-shaped UFO was in the sky hovering. A blue light, a blue beam of light was coming out of the ship.
It's kind of like the fourth kind.
Exactly. So John, he didn't know what to do. He ran inside, and he got his AK-47.
That's the gun he bought?
Yep. Got him an AK.
All right.
So, he means business.
So, he wiped out some alien ass.
Well, not that night. Joyce was headed to the center of the ship to meet the beam of light. John opened fire on the light. It worked. Joyce fell to the ground, but she remembered everything.
Did he hit her?
The ship took off immediately. He said it worked. He said shooting and that beam of light worked. It must have scared him something. After this experience, so many weird things started to happen. Weirder, I guess I should say. He would see an entity walk around his land. He called him the Michelin Man because that's what he looked like. He even referenced Ghostbusters, saying he looked almost like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Really?
Yeah. And which, when I heard that, I thought of the little baby Stay Puft Marshmallow Man's in Afterlife. At this point, John was so used to weird, but, you know, he would just see it walking around the land, just walking. It didn't bother anything, but when it started to get too close to the house, he got out his AK and fired. Now, obviously, it didn't do anything, and he still sees it from time to time, but it doesn't get as close to the house as it used to. It just kind of stays out there, and he'll see several of them at a time. The Men in Black even came for a visit. John was getting pretty popular in the UFO community. He was posting his story online, so the MIBs pull up in the black SUV, and they actually walk through the iron gate when they get there. Just walk through it. They tell John he needs to stop his shit. That's enough. Quit posting. Quit talking about it. Don't tell anybody about it. This never happened. And they leave. One day, John's driving behind a truck and something falls off. John stops to get it. It's a samurai sword. Now, John picks up this sword, and it's like a full-ass samurai sword. It's not some cheap shit that you get, like, in a hobby store or anything. It's a real samurai sword. He thinks it's a sign. He thinks that he is meant to have this sign, or this sword, that God made this sword fall off the truck, and this is what he needs to use to take care of his wife and his home and get rid of these aliens. That's what's going on in his head. So, John gets home. He puts the sword under his bed. By this time, the beings, after John basically hit one of them with a baseball bat. They were out for blood. They were trying to piss John off. So they would now go in the horse stable. And I think they ended up killing like 3 horses. And John felt like this is intentional. Like they wanted to hurt him. They were trying to intimidate him, you know, like get him scared. So one day, John was doing some work in the living room. Now this is like his big battle, y'all. Joyce was gone. He felt the pressure change. And when the pressure changes, what John notices is when the beings would show up. Now the way John describes it is what it was like when they showed up. It was like they were pulling a curtain back and they would poke their head in. It's kind of like that. Like he described it as like, you know, when you're in the shower and you poke your head out.
Yeah.
It's almost like that's what it looked like. And then if the coast was clear, they would phase into the whole room. Like they would pull the whole curtain back is what he said it was like pretty much. So the pressure changed. And every time the pressure changed, that's when they showed up. He knew they were close by. He stayed calm. They couldn't know he knew. John cleared his mind. He even started to flip through the TV channels to make them think that he didn't know anything was up, you know, but he knew. They appeared. He saw their little heads in his peripheral. They were in the sunroom. So John casually gets up and he went to the bedroom, still acting like he couldn't see him, you know, just walking back, you know, acting like he's going to get something. He grabbed the sword and he placed it on the inside of the door frame. He then went back and sat down in front of the TV. This was his plan. He saw 3 whole aliens phase in. He walked back to get the sword. Now, if he snuck back around to a different hallway, he would walk right past the sunroom and they would not be able to see him coming. So this was his plan. He grabbed his sword. He snuck back to the sunroom. As soon as he got there, he stopped for a minute and took a deep breath. He charged. He killed all 3 gray aliens. He stabbed them. He tried to get the head off of one because he figured if they didn't have their head, they couldn't phase out. You know, they need their brain to do that is what he's thinking. He could not get the head cut off of one. But they were dead. But they still dematerialized is what he said. He said that they can't dematerialize if they don't have a head.
That's true.
He said, I've shot, I've hit, and I've stabbed them. Nothing worked. But using the sword killed all 3 of them.
Makes sense.
So, Joyce gets home from work, and there's like brownish liquid. I guess they're it's their blood, but it's like brownish liquid type stuff. And Joyce gets home, and she's like unfazed. She's like, what happened? You know, what's this now? And John's like, you know, I killed some, you know, but they're gone. They phased out. And he's like, but this is their blood. He literally just left it there for Joyce. And that's whatever, you know. I
would have done the same.
I know. So, you know, I think they were just kind of over it, you know. So they decided they needed a night out. They always go back to normal when they leave the ranch. Like, as soon as they leave the property, they're back to their happy selves. And they're laughing and cutting up. They're in love. But that ranch just did something. It just put them in these bad moods. You know what I mean? Like, it just changed their personality. So they're laughing and they're talking and they get to the restaurant. And Joyce, you know, they're having a blast. And Joyce is like, I gotta use the restroom. And, you know, she gets up, she excuses herself, and she goes to the restroom, and he checks his phone. He has tons of missed calls and voicemails. It's Joyce. He left without her.
Whoa.
Yes, y'all, we have doppelgangers.
Bum, bum, bum.
John gets the waitress.
Or is it alien?
See, I don't know, but John gets the waitress to check in the ladies, but to check on other Joyce in the bathroom. She comes back and no one's there. come to find out, John has portals on his property. And you'll also see this in the Ghost Adventures episode 2. They're talking about the portals, and the portals have very high vibrations, which is supposedly a means for time travels, the vibrations and stuff. So that kind of explains a little bit. And apparently the Greys that have been coming to the farm, they are rogue Greys.
So whatever happened with the fake Joyce?
She disappeared. Oh. Yeah, like never found. So there are rogue Greys, just like with humans. There's bad humans. Just like with the Greys, there's bad Greys. And that's what it is. They refer to them as the rogue Greys. They're attracted to the light, the portal that the portal's giving off is the light. Also, I got to pull this up because I got to read this to you.
Pull it up, girl.
John got the blood tested of the alien he killed.
Ooh.
And guess who has the results?
Who?
Me.
Oh.
So.
Not the FBI, but you.
Well, this is the thing that he got back. And
I'm just kidding.
I know. So, samples purported to be alien extraterrestrial tissue and fluid samples were shipped from a ranch near Phoenix, Arizona, where bizarre incidents have taken place over many weeks, months, and years, culminating in a number of extraterrestrial entities being stabbed, wounded, or killed in the ranch by its owner, John Edmonds, who wrote, "Wiped up the blood, fluid, and tissue of the Grey I nearly split in two parts with an exceptionally well-sharpened samurai sword. After hand-to-hand combat with these little parasites, we have plenty of evidence to prove it, gathered over many years. This gave plenty of fluid and tissue samples to work with. Blood found. The sample appears to be pure hemoglobin, like that found at the cattle mutilation sites with what appears to be segment rods in the blood. Never seen anything like it. Skin. Looks like segmented grass, except it's not grass. Details. Numerous samples have been collected under correct forensic techniques by several skilled investigators and were sent to independent labs of high regard. All came back with the same result that the proteins in the samples could not be identified as anything they had ever seen before, either plant or animal or human. One lab did add that the samples sent to them did match the samples they had tested over the last 30 years of fluid specimens they had tested from various cattle mutilations across the southwest U.S. They believe that there was 100% compatibility that the two were from the same creatures. Finally, a smoking gun that absolutely links cattle mutilations to alien life forms. One scientist was extremely elated by the discovery. The important significance of these fluid matches is that according to W.C. Levengood, the fact that they matched so well was proof that indeed they were both extraterrestrial, as the samples matched nothing from the animal or plant kingdoms on Earth. However, as said above, the samples matched the samples from mutilated cattle sites, and that would, in Levengood's words, show a correlation between aliens, cattle mutilations, and the obvious hostile intent of the gray aliens. You have the smoking gun. This is proof of alien life visiting Earth and links the phenomenon together positively. Those are Levengood's words. Robert Bigelow and his agency spent close to a month studying the ranch, and the events here, and my wife and I underwent extensive interviewing, videotaping, and analysis by ex-FBI and CIA investigators. Everyone involved has had consensus that the events here are real, accurate in nature, and have not been publicly released due to my desire to avoid a deluge of publicity, which will neither further the investigation nor heighten the hard science approach to an unexplained phenomena that deserves the respect of a remaining discussion between professionals. W.C. Levengood, he was very excited about the sample sent, which contained tiny segmented fibers. These were not cloth. This was what was in the photomicrographs he sent. Levengood explained that the blood as we know it does not contain segmented fibers. This made the sample highly unusual. He also explained normal antibodies that are positive or negative determine the type of blood, which is something totally different. It is very peculiar. The cell parts look like joint grass, but are not grass. He has not written a report as stated above, but he did mail the photomicrographs, which are photographs taken through a microscope. When asked why he didn't send the tissue out for the DNA testing, he said there wasn't enough material and it was very expensive to do so. W.C. Levengood. Oh, that was it. Now, on Ghost Adventures, when they are talking to John about this, the way he described it was, to make it a little bit more understandable, it was a combination of animal and plant, all the protein structure of animal, but inside the cells is chlorophyll. Nothing on earth comes close to this makeup. He went on to say that he has killed at least 18 gray aliens. They have all dematerialized. The doctor that performed the test mysteriously died, and all the samples were stolen.
Damn.
Apparently he fell and hit his head. And that's what John says on Ghost Adventures. Paranormal investigators and psychics alike have all stayed. They have all seen the aliens. And even on the Ghost Adventures episode, they don't talk really about the previous occupants of the house. But there is a psychic there. And she tells Zach Bagans that she walked into the kitchen and this boy came up to her with a gunshot in his head, and he says that he was supposed to graduate and he killed himself the day of. And that was one of the stories that we talked about. So there's so much more, you guys. He actually wrote a book, and let me go in my pictures. I'll post it on Instagram too so y'all can see it. But the book is called Ascension Code, The True Story of One Man's Struggle with Extraterrestrials and Its Profound Meaning for Humanity. And it's John Edmonds with Elaine J. Keller. And I've got a few pictures. That's the Stardust Ranch.
Pretty.
It's very pretty. I think I looked it up online and I believe they just sold it for $5 million and they only paid like $1.3 for it. So,
sounds
about right. Yeah. And I think I want to say the animal sanctuary is called High Hooves for the horses. I could be wrong. Do not quote me on that. It's like High Hopes or High Hooves or something. But you can look it up. You can go to the website for Stardust Ranch, and they have pictures. They have the blood samples that I just read. They have that on there, which is weird. But it's a very cool website. Check it out. It's got some pictures of the ranch. It's even got a few UFO pictures. But that is the story. What do you think?
I think it's crazy.
It's super crazy, right? It's got a little bit of everything.
Yeah, for sure.
So I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope it gave you a little something to think about. And I also found while doing this one that there's yet another sister to this ranch. So we may have to do that one also.
Seriously?
It's called the Bradford.
The Bradford.
We
definitely have to check that out.
Absolutely. Thank you guys. I'm so sorry this came out a day late. I hope you enjoyed it.
She was tweaking it and twerking it.
Twerking it. I'm a sassy child.
Sweet as bacon.
You guys have a great, wonderful week.
Stay hydrated.
Drink lots of water.
Give that side eye.
And make good choices.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.